Hey everyone, welcome to the Balanced Dietitian podcast. I am your host, Marie-Pierre, and for all my English friends out there, you can call me Marie. I am a registered dietitian with a background in psychology. My passion in life is to help individuals heal their relationship with food and their bodies. If you're tired of dieting and tired of restriction, you are at the right place. I'm hoping that this podcast will help and support you as you heal your own relationship with food and your body, and give you the tools, the resources, and the knowledge that you need to finally ditch the diets. Every week, you will be hearing from guest experts and myself on all things food, body, and mind. I am so happy that you're here, and I cannot wait to support you on your journey. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Balanced Dietitian podcast. Wherever you are listening to this, thank you so much for taking the time. Today, we have a really fun episode with one of the group participants, Cynthia, who's going to come on and share her story, healing her own relationship with food and her body. I adore these podcast episodes because I find that storytelling, sharing each other and empowering each other is so wonderful when we are in the process of healing our own journey with food and our bodies and walking away from diet culture. So I hope that you enjoy this podcast episode and it brings you a ton of value. Hey everyone, welcome to the Balanced Dietitian podcast. Today we have an amazing guest. So we are welcoming Cynthia, who is a program participant. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. So today we're just going to go through like your story and telling us about you and your own journey in recovering from diet culture. So let's just start by tell us a little bit about your journey with food and your body, like growing up.
So my journey, I realized like going back on it, is very complicated. My journey with food when I was younger, there didn't seem to have any issue. I'm a foodie. I love food. But I realized that as my relationship with my body was more complicated, I had problems with food. Mostly my relationship with my body started in high school. I realized that I was not according to quote unquote beauty standards. I wanted to belong, and it's important when you're in high school to the sense of belonging somewhere. I suffered from acne. I was sweating a lot. I had sweating issues, to which I was made fun of. I also have keratosis pilaris, who is a big self-conscious problem with meat. It's a harmless skin condition that, you know, you can apply creams all you want, but it doesn't go away. And then, so for my sweating problem, I had like this product prescribed by a doctor. It went away. I was happy about it, but my acne got worse. I suffered from adult acne later on, and I was frequently say I was well complimented that I was cute for someone who suffered from acne. You don't want to hear that when no. You suffer from acne.
Well, in any context, like you're cute for someone who beep, like what?
Yep.
No, cute.
yeah, and I was hiding a lot of my acne with my hair. So I had like acne along my hairline. And at 25, I had enough. So I went to the doctor and I cried my eyes off. You know, I can't stand this anymore. Why can't I be like other girls, like beautiful skin? And he prescribed me Accutane, who worked. In my 20s, I was not at a good place. I had body issues. Like I was very self-conscious about my body. I was insecure. I was obsessed about how I looked. And I would say that I was someone who was very toxic. And then a few years later, I got dumped. And the coping mechanism I did was to lose weight. I also consulted for other issues, to help me become a less toxic person, so like normal person. And then I met my spouse. I filled my paperwork to join the military. And then something sad happened that made me cope with food. So I gained a lot of weight for someone who lost a ton of weight prior to this. And then, like diet culture would say, when I got back on track, I went with a fitness company, had a nutritional plan done. I was counting my calories. I was obsessed about the notion of what is healthy eating. I was so obsessed that I would bring lunch, my own lunch, to my in-laws. And thinking back on that, like, it's stupid. Well, it's not stupid. Like, I can still see like their looks when they saw that, oh no, I have my own lunch. You can eat yours, but I have my lunch.
Yeah.
And I would also like manage my cheat meals.
Quote unquote.
Yeah. around my family gathering. And then at that time, I was losing weight, right? But I was restricting. Thinking back on it, it's not sustainable. And then I got into the military. I was told that I would do my basic military training in August. And then for people who does not know how many, like, being a recruit, you burn like so much calorie, and staying in this restrictive calorie intake, it was not sustainable. I was starving myself. Food for me when I was on basic training was fuel. I had to eat. Had to eat whatever I could eat. Sometimes I had 2 minutes to eat. So like, you just stuff food in your mouth. And you know, with the exercise that you do, actually over exercise, like, you're constantly in a stress situation, sleep deprived, but like, yeah, you lack sleep, you're always stressed, you do a lot of exercise. Like, I would say it's a good combination to lose weight because you exercise too much. So I lost a lot of weight. And then I graduated from my basic training, and I would say that I was in the best shape of my life because I was strong, but also I was what I was always wanting in life as a teenager. And everybody around me would congratulate me on the successful weight loss that I've done, and went back on the nutritional plan because I was eating whatever I wanted to fuel my body during my basic training. I didn't care what I ate. That when I stopped actually over-exercising as much as I did, I gained some back. So I was kind of like in denial, like, no, this can't happen, and restricted myself. And then I found out that I was pregnant. And the nurse that was following me kept reminding me, you know, you're pregnant, you can't diet, you have to feed you and your baby the right amount of calories per day that you are supposed to eat. And I somewhat stopped calculating what I ate, but I compensated with over-exercising. So I would push myself to the limit being pregnant, and that's one thing that you can't do when you're pregnant. I would not say like change your intensity, but a little bit, like, slow down. So I suffered a lot of uterus pain when I was pregnant. That would keep me up at night. I wouldn't be able to go to work, and then I was in so much pain that I went back to see my doctor, and then she had a hard time finding the heartbeat, and she put me on I would say no exercise recommendation. So the only thing that I could do was walk. Then I was in labor, gave birth, and the postpartum body happened during my parental. It's as if I don't remember anything from it. I suffered a lot of postpartum body image. I had problems accepting my body. I still do today. Then I went back to work early, and then graduated from my course. I got posted to Ottawa. And when I got posted here, I was so happy that I could go back to the gym and score a higher score on my force test. But then COVID happened, and here I am today.
And here we are.
Yep.
Well, thank you for sharing all of that. Like you were saying, like before we recorded, like there's a lot, like it sounds like, you know, yep. Like diet culture, like throughout your life has really come in different ways.
Exactly.
Controlling in different ways, whether it was with, even when we think of like, you know, having the perfect skin and all of that, and like not feeling happy with that, and then switching towards like, well, now let me hyper-focus on my body. Like if I can't control this, let me control that.
Exactly. It's never enough. You always want more.
It is never, never enough. So when you started to have like issues with your body, was it like you said, like in high school, and you realized that your body was not the quote unquote societal ideal that it was, that you thought you wanted?
Yeah. So I think that I've always had like, I don't know, maybe it's me as a kid who was not thinking about how my body looked. Like yeah. I didn't care how my body looked until some people just made those remarks on my body. But I was reading a lot of magazines, and watching a lot of TV. So I would say that I had like a conception of what the beauty standards were in society. So mm-hmm. I'm petite, muscular built. And what I saw all around me was these tall girls, slim fit. And I didn't match that at all. And yeah,
which makes it really difficult, especially at that age. And something that you've said that I just want to point out that was like beautifully said is that sense of belonging, that we mm-hmm. want to belong. Like it's part of our biology to want to find a tribe, to be able to survive. And at that age, it's even more so.
Oh, yeah.
When like beauty and external appearance takes the forefront, and now it's like, okay, well, in order to belong, I need to look this way. Like I will mm-hmm. do everything in order to do that. Cause it's almost like biological drive to want to fit in.
Yeah. In high school, everyone wants to fit in, but you want to be different too, but not too different. It's kind of,
it's a very weird and confusing time.
Yeah.
And then growing out of there, like when you were in high school, is that when you're like, did you start to diet at that point when you were feeling like, okay, something needs to change. I want to change my body.
Yeah, so I would not eat, so I would starve myself, so I would skip breakfast.
Yeah.
But I don't really perceive it as a way to try to change my body. I think I was mostly doing it because my friends were not eating breakfast, so I was like, oh, they're skipping breakfast and they're that thin. But I don't think that in high school I focused more on weight loss. I just focused on other issue that I've prioritized over weight loss.
Yeah, no, and that makes sense. And then in your 20s, you called yourself a toxic person.
Yeah, it's like, to be honest, my 20s, if I could go back and erase that time, I would. I was very insecure, and I would project myself, like my insecurity, into people. And yeah. I've hurt people a lot, and I've screwed people over. And when that relationship ended, like I was like, what, how? And then I went to see a psychologist, and I was like, I can't keep doing that. Like, how can I not become a toxic person in a relationship? And she gave me cues. So I'm like kind of the person who likes self-development, because it's doable, right? So I would not say that I'm not a toxic person 100%, but I'm way less toxic than I used to be. I have like coping mechanisms that I rely on to help me not be that toxic person.
Yeah. And again, thank you like so much for sharing that too, right? Cause that's a hard thing to say out loud. It's a hard thing to like open up about, but also knowing that also what is what made you here today, like you exactly. wanting to get the help and change and self-development, being like, cool, how can I do things different? Like, this is no longer working, mm-hmm. right? Which is a very similar pattern. And when you are stuck in diet culture of like, okay, something needs to change because this is not working anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. And your ability to have that self-awareness is probably one of your superpowers to be able to be like, cool, we need to do something different.
Yeah.
But then at that point, your coping mechanism became like trying to shrink your body, like focusing efforts on that.
Yeah, one of the coping mechanisms. So I would, every time I would be angry, so I would lash out, not letting the other person express himself or whatever. So I would lash out quickly. So it would become very angry fast. So exercises for me helped with the angry part.
Okay.
But yeah. writing, so like taking a step back and like writing it down, like, how come I'm that pissed right now, also helped me to communicate what was really wrong.
Right.
It's kind of confusing because when I was a kid, that's the way that my parents would argue. Yeah. So I was like, so for me, communication was that. And I never really realized it and up until I got dumped, and it was like, how come this relationship didn't work? And like, when you get dumped, you're like always on this like pink cloud, like, oh no, this relationship was perfect. But then yeah. as time goes, you're like, no, this relationship was awful. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, how can I become better than what I was and not fall into this pattern of toxicity?
Yeah. Yeah. And you said then at that point, you started to lose weight after that relationship.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, it was sort of like a way of taking revenge. Like, I don't know how to say
it. Yeah. No, but that makes sense. But it's also like sometimes, and you can let me know if this feels like it resonates or not. Sometimes when something like that happens, that is really, really difficult, we can start targeting our body with that attention. Right. Mm-hmm. Being like, this is really, really hard. Let me focus on like, here's my body. Yeah. I'll change my body. Like, yeah. And like, I have quote unquote control around that. Like, let me focus on that.
Yeah. Right? That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And it's very, very common that when we are in a tough time, that our body can become that target of attention. And then this idea that diet culture plays into your mind of, but you have control over your body, mm-hmm. you know, your life, you may not have control over, but your body, yes. And like, try to change it. Right. Yeah.
And it's so hard because as human, I believe that we tend to control stuff, and body is the one thing that we're obsessed about to control.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it makes it really hard, but it's new, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's a new yeah. concept. Like, this was not the way beforehand. It's a byproduct yeah. of diet culture of being like, hey, you know what, like hyper focus on this problem that is not a problem, mm-hmm. but if they make us believe it's a problem, they can sell us a solution over and over
it's
again.
It's easy. Everybody's doing it. There's 10 of people. There's 2% of the population who succeeds. Why can't you? And you're like, and you're like, okay. But then I remember becoming obsessive, bringing lunch to other people's house and being angry at like, mes calculs.
Calculations?
Yeah, my calculations after like at the end of every meal and every day, like I would calculate it. Yeah, and I was like so angry, like, why can't I do that? And they make it so easy.
Right, because it's not, right? It's this mm-hmm. perception of like, here's a few people who've done it. And we don't even know if this is true, first of all.
Yeah.
But here are these people, you can be like them. And it's so easy. Like, if you're not doing it, it's your issue, right? Mm-hmm. But like you said, it's almost like, so it started with the body, and the body feeling like uncomfortable with ourselves, wanting to control, and that will impact our relationship to food, right? So
exactly.
then we take control over like everything that I eat. And sometimes when we're in it, it feels like, oh, I have control over it. But really, it's the food that has control over you.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like you said, and it's not stupid that you use the word stupid. It's not stupid bringing your food to someone else's home, right? Because I remember like that was tips that were given of like,
mm-hmm.
oh,
it is
someone else, like bring your food with you. And like, it's pretty messed up, you know, like it's really simplifying food to like
food is just like calories that you need. Like, it's not to be enjoyed or shared or connected with someone else, which is not the truth.
Yeah. And it's like, when I think back of the things that I would eat, I mean, like, the food was good, but it was separated. Like, yeah, like, oh, use like non-sugary sauce. Oh, you can't use sauce, so use non-sugar ketchup. Like, oh, this brand. And you're like, okay, but it's not good. And yeah. And I mean, yeah. so for me, I was on low carb diet and I can have toast in the morning. Like, the only amount of carbs, like grains, pasta, would be like after my training. And it's sad. Yeah. It's sad because I like food. Like, yeah. And I was like, okay, if I want to eat this, I have to change the entire recipe and making it fit me.
Right. And that's how we see that, like, diet culture takes so much space in our brain. Because right now, you know, going like, hey, I want toast, I'm going to have a toast. And like, end of story, I move on with my day.
Exactly.
Previous, it's like, okay, I want a toast. I cannot have a toast. What can I do to substitute? What if I had a toast? What do I need to do the rest of my day? Like, it becomes this like mess in our head that's just like so overwhelming.
The worst for me was like trying to find quote unquote healthy version of food. So I love cookie dough. I love cookies, yes. Point. But like, I love eating cookie dough. And there was like this thing with chickpea. Oh, like, just use a can of chickpea and make up cookie dough with it. And it's nasty. Like, I mean, and people are like, oh, yeah, it's the best thing ever. And I'm like, what? I've tasted it. I'm like, I'm going to try it. Like, everybody's saying it's the best thing ever. Let's try it. And I was like, this is so wrong. How can everybody just agree to it? And I'm like, unless I'm too of a sweet tooth.
Yeah, and then you feel like, bad because you actually don't like it. Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty weird thing. I'm like trying to convince. I remember I was doing that with like some types of ice cream, which were like the low-cal ice cream. Like, this whole tub is only this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, this is great. And I was eating it. I'm like, this tastes like plastic, but I'm going to like convince myself that this is the same as ice cream. Like, it's not the same though. Like, let's stop definitely. Pretending.
Yeah.
Goodness. Okay, and then, like you said, like, so your body weight, like, up and down, right? Like, losing weight, mm-hmm. and then gaining weight, and then losing weight again, and then losing weight intensively when you got into the military and doing all the training, and then on top of it, being valued by people, right? Being like, hey, this is awesome, this is great, when even if it was, like, the quote-unquote best shape, according to those standards then, it's still the behaviors going there were probably not great nor healthy, right?
No. Because I was like, not that I was starving, but it's just, I was obsessed. Like, my food scale was always on my counter. Everything was measured to the calorie, like, crazy when you think about that. And it affects your, not your relationship around you, but other people may not see it. Like, why are you doing it? And you're always like, oh, people don't understand. But actually, no, you don't understand how obsessive you've become about it. Like, when you think about food, what your next food will be, how in the hell are you going to measure it if you're not home? It's crazy.
Yeah, no, and you're right. Like, and it does impact your relationships. Like, it has to, because it impacts you as a person and how you show up, right? Thank you like so much for sharing that. And then being pregnant and your body is changing because it has to, because you're growing a human. And then postpartum too, like postpartum, sorry, this is where there's a lot of pressure on women too. And for you at that point, like, you had been, I think, stuck in diet culture for quite a while, right?
I was stuck in diet culture. I was at my quote-unquote best shape of my life. And then I got pregnant. So my body was like pregnant on the thinner side. And then I was quote unquote happy because I was, according to beauty standard, okay. But yeah. And then it's also one thing that pose, like, there are a lot of stuff that we don't talk about as women, being postpartum. And I don't know why we don't talk about it. I don't care what happens during pregnancy for the 100th time, because everybody speak about what's happening in pregnancy. I want to know what happens to my body afterwards. Mm-hmm. And even though I knew that my body would sort of change after having a kid, I wasn't expecting it to be that bad, because while I was pregnant, I had to stop being on diets. I had to stop, like, so I just ate. Like, I ate.
Right. You allowed yourself to. Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody told me, like, oh, you're pregnant. Just enjoy the thing in life. You're still young. Don't worry. Your body will bounce, quote unquote, bounce back. But then as you give birth and you're like, okay, I have a daughter 2 years old right now and I still haven't bounced back. And I'm like, where the hell is that bounce back body you guys were talking about?
Yeah, no, and it is hard. So I think there's like two things here. It's like, first of all, like our worth, value, and like attached to our body, right? And then that our body of ours are meant to change. So as it goes up and down, or if you're pregnant, whatnot, like your self-worth will change with it, right? And that in itself is a very, it's like conditional to how your body looks, which puts a lot of pressure, doesn't work, especially when it's maintained through restrictive and disordered behaviors. Mm-hmm. But then postpartum, there's like so much pressure of like, here's like, you have a baby, and then right after you're going back to that body, which is like going back to, like, your body didn't go nowhere. It's mm-hmm. here, it's there. And like, but again, it's what we see, right? You'll see women like 9 months pregnant, and then it's like 1 month after baby, like holding their baby and their six pack, and you're like, wait, what the hell? So it is like really difficult.
Yeah, it's as if they kind of like Photoshop their body or something, and like, good for you if it happened, but can we also show the other side of the spectrum where it doesn't always happen that way?
Right. And then it's just like kind of going back, and which is what we're doing, like making peace with that body of ours, right? That our body here and now is good, regardless of how it looks, because we want to stop being conditional with it. So at what point were you like, okay, now I have my baby, she's 2 years old, and I think things need to change. Like, I think I need support. How did that look like for you? Like, at what point were you like, okay, I need to do this?
Actually, COVID. It sounds stupid, but COVID happened and I had a lot of free time on my mind. I mean, my daughter had 2 naps a day, so I had a lot of sleep, like alone time.
Yeah.
Health at every size popped up a few times, intuitive eating, body positive movements, all sort of popped up. So I kind of got interested in those. But I was still determined to lose weight. I would say that I tried one last time. I tried again with a nutritional plan, but I didn't went in the sense that I wanted to be on a calorie deficit. I just wanted to know like what it is to eat normally. And it didn't turn out right. The person didn't understand my need. And instead of telling me like, oh no, I'm just good for weight loss, I'm not for you, she just went with it. And then I said like, screw this. And then I discovered your podcast. And then I learned about your program. We've discussed about it on the phone, which was nice. It was nice and personal. Like, I mean, it was personal. Mm-hmm. And then I joined the program and here I am.
And here you are today. And how scary was it for you to be like, okay, this is a 6 month program, I'm jumping in, like, I'm going to do this?
I would say at first I was like, this is so long. And like, so yeah, it's long, but I was like, yeah, but it doesn't happen the next day. And it's not going to end after 6 months. It's going to continue. Like, I would say like a lifetime. I have like 33 years in front of me to erase and I would say relearn from. I have a lot of stuff to, like, beliefs mostly to deconstruct and say like, no, this is just diet culture talk. Yeah. It's not real life.
Yeah. And it's pretty funny because a lot of people, when they first joined, they would say very similar thing. I'm like, but it's 6 months. Like 6 months is a long time. I'm like, yeah, I get it. It is a long time. And also, like, how long have you been struggling? Right. Like when you look back and you're like, we have years of like beliefs and stuff to talk about and to relearn and all these things. And it's not an easy process, right? It's not like, oh, okay, today I'm choosing to be intuitive and then buy diet culture and like,
no,
and it again.
It's a whole process, and you have to arm yourself with the right tools, because there's a lot of, I would say, intuitive eating people out there who are not intuitive eating. If there's a sort of way of control around food, then it's not intuitive eating. And that's the thing that I realize a lot, like, oh, this, do this with this tool. And I'm like, but
wait a second.
I'm not supposed to use the tool. Like I'm just supposed to question myself. Like, am I hungry right now? What do I want to eat? Is it because I'm emotional right now? Am I bored? Like, it goes way beyond that.
Yeah. You're 100% right. 100% right. So how has, because right now we are like halfway in, I think. Yeah. So halfway in. You still have 3 months to go. But so far, how has the journey been for you?
Hard.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's hard because you constantly have to ask yourself, like, why am I doing this? Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, why am I doing this? Like, to go back to like the very first, I would say the module one, but like the reason why you don't want to do diets anymore. And I know that Kathy mentioned that prior to starting this program, I never thought that I had so many issues around my food or my body. And she's quite right. And I am someone who does not like to be uncomfortable or be vulnerable, but it allowed me to actually be that and just recenter myself. But the community is very helpful and nice, because you're not the only one struggling in that. I mean, yeah, it's something. Like I consider myself as someone who progressed towards the me who started. I don't see food the same way anymore. I just enjoy it now. And even though I overate that day, or I didn't eat any vegetable that day, there's always tomorrow. And there's like, I mean, if I don't want to eat it, I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah. Like, and that in itself is a huge accomplishment, right? Like refinding joy in food, because for years it wasn't there. But then also letting go of those rules of like, if a day is not a quote unquote perfect balanced eating way, that it's fine. Like, it doesn't say anything about you or your health status, right? That you're
exactly,
you're just able to like reconnect. And then some days you may have more vegetables and you're like, cool, I'm also not a better person today. Like, it's all still the same.
Yeah. And the hardest part for me was putting all foods on the same table. I mean, that's still something that I struggle with. I mean, but during the holidays, I ate the food that I wanted without feeling guilty. And that's a big success. Like,
huge.
I ate food. Yes, I overate some days. Yes, I didn't eat any vegetables some days, but hey, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And you're still here and you're still healthy and you're still moving along.
And that doesn't make me a bad person.
Right. Right. So it's like almost like taking a lot of that like value away. Right. Mm-hmm. And I love how you say too, like, so yes, hard, like, and I never like sugarcoat that like recovering from diet culture is not easy. Right. And although we have like this group, the support, these structures, we are still going against what like society praises as a whole. Right. So we're like working on our own like belief and like stigmas and everything we know, and then taking that into living in this society that we are. And you're right. Like, sometimes like we do get pulled back and it's like, okay, but what about like this thing or this thing came up? But what's really cool is that we always get to recenter ourselves and being like, okay, what do I believe to be true? And what is important for me? Right. we build more resilience. So like when these things come up, it doesn't impact us as much, but I almost feel like it's almost like when you clean out your closet, like it gets messier before it gets clean, because yeah. there's a lot of stuff we need to go through, right? Which does make us vulnerable. And when we are vulnerable, we don't like it. We don't want to be discomfort. And we're like, what can I do right now to like take that discomfort away? And sometimes diet culture comes in and position itself of like, oh, you feel discomfort. Let me help you.
Oh, yeah. So and it always gets harder before it becomes easier.
Yeah. And then eventually it's just like second nature of like, cool, I am putting myself first, right? And this is what is important.
It's a sort of self-care. I mean, like I'm prioritizing myself according to me, not you.
Yes. Yes, 100%. And then also funny for someone who doesn't like to be vulnerable, you are here on the podcast sharing your story. Like what a big challenge.
Yeah. So I had like a conversation with my spouse. I was like, should I do this? He's like, would you like to do it? Like he's a guy.
What you think about it?
Would you like to do it? And he was like, oh no, maybe it's like, it's a way for you to tell your story and like realize, because I was never diagnosed with any eating disorder. And prior to your program, I've asked myself, like, do I deserve this? Like there's this, it's like this gray zone, I would say, that like this program is for a certain body type, but it's not. Like it's, and like for me, I was afraid to like, would people like invalidate the way that I feel, because my issues are, I would say, like quote unquote less than what they've been through. But then again, does not mean that my experience is of less value. So it's kind of like this.
Yes. I love that so much. Like everything you said, like, do I deserve this? And like, the answer is 100% yes. Right. And like the part of the diagnosis too, like that is tricky. Like, and like, you know, like I work one-on-one too with eating disorders, and not everybody gets diagnosed, and like having a diagnosis does not necessarily change the experience. It can be validating for some, but also does not invalidate people who don't have diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Like it just, your struggles are still valid. And it's really cool because we actually talked about this, was it last week or this week?
Yep.
Last I don't know. Week. We talked about this in the group of like being in all different body sizes. And yet at every body size, there's still body image like issues, and like the difference within like privileges within like, if we have body images, we have smaller body size versus a larger body size, and how that appears and how we navigate through that. And like these types of conversation that are very deep is the stuff that like, it's awesome, right? Because that's how we grow and we learn.
And like every week I show up in the Q&A, it's like, it's crazy. We're all in different body type, different situation, different relationship, different, I would say like place within our body and food. And we all feel the same way.
Yeah.
We all have the same struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's one of the best part of the group. Like the group is just wonderful and the community is wonderful, but like that safe space that we build, that we're like, ever you're coming from, whatever your like journey has been, and even like whatever your age, like we're all different age groups. Like it's just, we can all connect on this one thing and grow together, which has just been amazing, amazing, amazing. So what do you think is your favorite part of the program?
I'd say the Q&A.
Yeah.
I like sharing and the questions that we ask, because maybe at some point were questions that I asked or didn't, I would say, ask it because I was too shy. But it's the sharing part. I mean, if you don't share, it's hard to, not hard, but sharing is important because it makes other people say, hey, I know that too. I feel that way too. And then you kind of connect with other people and it sort of validates your emotion or your thought. And you're like, hey, okay, I'm normal. I thought I wasn't normal because I was believing that, but I think I'm normal because other people are believing it.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, the normalization of these things, mm-hmm. right? Because oftentimes, like, living in diet culture can be very isolating. Like, yeah. I am a failure. I'm not able to. Everybody else is able to. Like, this sucks. Yeah. Where it's like, okay, no, we're, like, moving away from that model altogether. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Awesome. So how would you describe your, like, your relationship to food and body now compared to before you started?
So my relationship with food, I would say that I can, I'm not saying that check it and then not think about it anymore, but I don't struggle as much as I did. I don't fuss around food anymore as much as I did, which is a success. But my body is something that, yeah, but my body is something that I'm not there yet. It's struggling. Ongoing.
Yeah.
I'm struggling, especially with movement. Finding the joy in movement without falling into the weight loss trap of exercising,
yeah.
because that was one of my coping mechanisms. And it's hard to yeah. not see exercise as a way to lose weight, but more of a way of moving my body. And being a military, it's harder. Harder yeah. because you get evaluated on your fitness level yearly. And yeah. that's just like the reflection of the minimal requirements. So you want to succeed, like you don't want to, I wouldn't say like there's drastic measures taken, but there's measures taken, like how can you not be fit? You are entitled an hour and a half a day to train during work hours. And with COVID happening, the gyms being closed, for me, like, yeah, so for me, those are like my insecurities a little bit, yeah. like how I'm someone who does not own any equipment except of a yoga mat at home. And I know there are ways to train, no equipment body, but I'm someone who needs, I would say, like a class, like to attend, I'm not yeah. someone who just swings yeah. it like that. It's like I would like, I need a, or call the reference. I don't know.
Yeah. Like almost like more structure, which like COVID made that hard a little bit.
Exactly.
But really cool. Like when you think of like a relationship to food being much, much better, right? It's mm-hmm. really funny because some people will struggle more towards food. Some people more towards body. But for a lot, it's like, okay, the food is almost the first thing that we're able to heal that relationship of like, cool. I need nourishment. I can't spend all my days just thinking about food, which mm-hmm. is amazing because it allows your brain a lot more space to do all the other stuff. But the relationship to body does take more time for most of us. Because it's almost like, you know, like relationship to body is probably the first thing that was like struggling. And then it went to food to be able to control. Mm-hmm. We take away food, but then we come back to body. And I love that you're being very open about this, right? That it's not a one or 3 month quick fix. And like, we no longer think about our body. Yeah. And we feel amazing. It does take time, but it's that progression that we keep doing and decoupling your value mm-hmm. to your body, decoupling exercise to weight loss and all these things that we continuously work on to be able to just find peace within ourselves. Right.
Yep. Yeah. And fun.
And fun
moving because yes. it's fun, not because you need to.
Yeah. Yeah, and 100%.
That's the hardest part for me. I need to be quote unquote operationally fit, but at the same time, I'm not enjoying it now, right now. But I, at the same time, I can't just sit on my bum and do nothing. So I just do box, yoga, like,
yeah.
but it's hard.
Yeah.
like,
and it's okay that it's hard because you can do hard things.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just allowing yourself to be within that, like, okay, I need to keep decoupling it. And that's a struggle. And like, sometimes it's okay to take a break. And yet you have like jobs expectations, which adds an extra level for you, right? Mm-hmm. Which most of us like don't have like job requirements to be a certain yeah. way.
And I also understand that I have an advantage over people because I can train during my work hours, but at the same time, like not now, but it does not. So yeah, I don't know how to say this, but
yeah, but even if you have the time advantage, the healing process, like, of still trying to decouple is hard when you're doing it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, continuously you feel like you need to work out when we're trying not build that relationship of, like, finding joy within movement. Mm-hmm. It is a hard thing, which is okay. Like, you can do it. It's just maybe going to take a little bit more time, right? And a lot of more intentionality behind the movements that we do, and allowing yourself to take break too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important. Take breaks. Listen to your body if you're injured. What I should do sometimes.
Yes.
And so,
follow the red flags.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the red flags.
Yes. Okay, my last question for you is, what would you say to someone who is maybe on the fence, maybe scared to take the leap because all they've known is diet culture and that's, you know, what we grow up in? Know that it might be a better way, but is scared to try something different?
I would say to just do it without even thinking about it, or to jump in. Just go. I'm someone who like jumps into things, and then afterwards maybe I would be like, oh, why did I do that? But but yeah, I mean, I wasn't sure, even though we just spoke on the phone. I was like, should I do that? Like, is the community gonna be really there? Like, am I gonna like this? Is it gonna be, I would say, enough? Is it gonna like screw me over? And I'm like, no, let's do it. And then I had a conversation with my partner who was like, yeah, I think it could benefit. Like, talk to someone else if you're not sure. Like, it's a way of like, so he played like the devil advocate. Like,
yeah.
And he was like, okay, but what's worse? Like, okay, worst case scenario, you wasted 6 months on this program and you've wasted money, but you're still alive, you're still there.
Yeah, like, and best case scenario.
Yeah, and then the best case scenario is that, see, you feel better now. You don't fuss around food anymore. You don't care about food anymore. You just enjoy eating like you're supposed to, like a kid is supposed to enjoy eating.
Yeah, and that's like such a good thing, like an amazing mindset too, of like investing in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Pros and cons of what may happen, and it's okay to be scared. Like, I think most people who join are like, it's different. Like, it's not another diet. Like, it's not familiar. And when it's not familiar, it is scary.
Yeah.
And being scared is okay. And that's why you have like my support and the support of the community to go through it, because it's okay to be scared. And
it's okay to be scared and vulnerable. It's crazy. I'm going to like this. Podcast is all about vulnerability, but it's true. Like, society has like picture us as being like confident, but no, we're all vulnerable and it's okay.
Yeah. And you can find confidence in being vulnerable. Exactly. Like, I just show up how I'm going to show up, and that is enough.
Yeah. Right? And for other people, being vulnerable, like, is quite impressive. Like, like I admitted I was a toxic person in my 20s. Like, it's who I was, and it's who I'm made me today, and I became a better person because of that. Like,
yeah you are so inspiring, and like your whole of course, like, it's just, it's so great to hear like your story and how it got you to start and how where you are now. Like, just being able to support you in the last 3 months has been awesome, and just seeing too like the changes, like, it's just amazing. And I feel super honored to be part of your journey.
Thank you for being part of my journey too. No, to be honest, you're awesome. I mean, it's like, it's, I would say I'm transformed. Like,
evolving and growing.
Exactly.
That's our 2021 is all about evolving and growing.
Yeah.
Even if we're doing it inside.
Like, 2021 allows me to continue focusing on me and doing self-care. Yeah. It's crazy, but like, I know that on the long term we may not see it that way, but on the short term, like,
yeah. I saw people talk about that. It's like, this year has really forced us to like return to ourselves, which is kind of true.
Yes, I think that it kind of like made people rediscover what their hobbies are,
yeah,
who they are, yeah, as a person. because you're stuck with you and people you live with, and you're like, okay, I know that there's Netflix, but I can't do Netflix for 3 months. So what else can I do? Oh, I love cooking. Let's discover cooking. Oh no, I don't like cooking. Let's rearrange the house and
yeah, there's always stuff to do. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So before we end this podcast, let's do our speed round of fun question. Let's start with, what is your favorite food?
Oh, that's so hard. That's a hard question. I love food. Can I say food is my favorite dish?
I love that.
But no, I would say peanut M&Ms.
Peanut M&Ms. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Snapping my fingers and my house would be clean. Laundry would be done. Dishes would be done.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is such an adult superpower. I just wanted clean my house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Actually, though, that sounds really good.
Yeah. When my daughter eats, who knew that toddlers would be so messy at the table? I don't have a dog, but if I do, I'm pretty sure my underneath my table would be clean, but it's so messy.
Oh,
so
yeah,
snap and it all goes away.
I love that. What is your favorite way to self-care?
I would say a bubble bath. Yeah, or reading a book.
I love
without being disturbed.
Without being disturbed. I love those. Yeah. Okay. And last question for you. What does balance mean to you?
Oh, that's hard. So I would say that for me, the word balance has always had a negative connotation because of diet culture. But at the same time, when I think about what balance means, is the first thing that comes into mind is everything in moderation. And I don't know how much I've heard this when I was a kid, a teenager, an adult, but yeah, it's sort of like a pendulum. Like if you go on the extreme, you
swing one way to another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. I'm sorry to make it a negative.
No, that's okay. And there's also something about French, right? Because I had another guest on the podcast who is from Quebec and she's French, and she's like, in French, the word balance is balance, which is a scale. So she's like, I don't like that word. And I'm like, that is fair. We don't all like it. My mom hates the word balance. Every time she's like, I don't know why you named your company the Balanced Dietitian. I don't like balance. So I'm like, okay. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, but I like it.
Yeah.
It has this negative connotation, because for a long time I couldn't find that balance. Like, what does it mean to be balanced? Because diet culture is telling you to quote unquote be healthy and everything healthy and clean. And so you're like, okay, but by not being healthy, does that mean that I'm balanced? Or
Yeah. It's kind of re-owning this word, right? It's what does balance mean to you, and the balance between all foods fitting, the balance between movement, the balance within the relationships. Like, it can mean so many things, and just having everything kind of work together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being on this podcast. I appreciate you so much. And like I said, I find your story to be extremely inspiring, and I know it's going to help just others see that hey, you don't need to stay in diet culture. There is other things, right?
There's other things more important in life, like yourself, than just focusing on what you eat and how much you need to exercise. Because we're all centered to ourselves anyways, right?
No one else is noticing, guys.
It's who cares if you are scared to be in bikini in the summer? Just wear it and enjoy it. And it's so funny, because before having this podcast, I was looking back into my computer pictures, and I went way back, and I was like, how did I got so messed up that I didn't find myself pretty when I was pretty?
And you still are.
Yeah. Yes, I'm still am. I will say it. I will be honest. Yes, I'm so pretty. But yeah, it's like how fucked up did it go?
Yeah. Because it's distortion.
Where did I screwed up?
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's not you. It's the culture that we're in that always makes us feel like we're not never good enough. It's a diet trap. Like it's never going to be good enough. Mm-hmm. Right? Amazing. Thank you again so, so much for your time. And everybody else, I will catch you next week in the next episode.
Bye.
Hey everyone, how did you like this episode? Wow, Cynthia is so vulnerable in sharing her story, and I hope that you guys were able to relate with her. We will all have different experience within diet culture, right? On how it shows up in our lives at different point, whether it is being more obsessed with food or our bodies or how we respond, how things show up. And I think like Cynthia's story is so amazing in the way that it showed up in so many different ways, right? And for her to take the stand and being like, okay, like it needs to be different because what I'm doing no longer works for me, right? And really has never really worked when we think about diet culture and we're like, okay, well, if the only way that it was okay was that if I was exerting like all this like control and couldn't do anything, like was that actually working? And is that the life that you want to live, right? At the end of the day, you get to decide the type of life that you want to live. And if it's, you know, moving away from diet culture and really reconnecting to yourself, to your body, nourishing your body in a way that feels good, enjoying movement again, and reconnecting to yourself, I would be super happy to connect with you and jump on a phone call with you to see where you're at. And if this program could be something that can also support you in your journey. If you are interested in joining us or in just maybe getting more information, check out the link in the show note, or you can go to www.thebalancedietitian.com/program. And I would be so honored to chit chat with you and to connect and to see if this is a good fit. On that note, my friend, I hope you have a wonderful day, and I will catch you in the next episode.